In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I hope that if you have yet to go to Rome on a pilgrimage, that someday you get to go, because it's truly a remarkable experience, and especially if you go not as a vacation. Well, vacations are great things, but pilgrimages are something different, because you go to pray and to visit the holy places. And if and when you go, one of the places that you need to visit is the Scavi, or the excavations under St. Peter's. We know through history that St. Peter's is not, the current St. Peter's is not the original St. Peter's. That one was torn down and rebuilt in the 1600s. The original, or actually the 1500s, the original St. Peter's was built by the Emperor Constantine, and it was built upon the tomb of St. Peter, though a lot of historians and others have said, oh, that's just a legend that that's where St. Peter was buried. And so in the last century, the popes had an excavation done underneath St. Peter's Basilica to find out what was there. And in the excavation, they in fact found the foundations of the original St. Peter's. And they also found a necropolis. That's your word for today, by the way, necropolis, a city of the dead. In other words, a graveyard. And when you think of a graveyard, don't think of the ones like we have around here. You know, flat, with the flat headstones that kind of look like a golf course, and not even like Ogden City Cemetery with the real headstones. It would look much more like a New Orleans-style cemetery with the mausoleums and the above-ground tombs. Well, when they built the original St. Peter's, what they did was they just filled in the cemetery. They just piled dirt and built it on top. That way they didn't have to destroy any of the tombs. They just covered them over and built the original St. Peter's. And when they excavated underneath the high altar, what did they find? The tomb of St. Peter. There was graffiti that says, "Peter is here." And they found within the tomb the remains of a man who was of the proper age, from the proper time, and who had been killed through crucifixion. The relics of St. Peter. And you're able to actually go and see the tomb of Peter as you go underneath in the Scavi, and it's a great thing. Well, some of the other interesting things that they found were graffiti prayers to St. Peter, asking St. Peter to pray for them. And then in the other graves, there were prayers for the repose of the souls of the people who were buried there. And you also find these in the catacombs. Prayers scraped into the rock for the repose of the soul of the person who was buried there. We see from these that from the very beginning, the church has prayed for the dead. And even before the church was the church, the people of God prayed for the dead. We see that in our first reading from the book of Maccabees. Judas Maccabeus had a sin offering offered for his soldiers who died in battle. He prayed for the dead. Christians always prayed for the dead, and in fact, no one objected to it until the 1500s. When some people who thought they knew more than the church said, "Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about praying for the dead." They didn't do it in a southern accent, because there wasn't a southern accent then. But we don't pray for the dead. Christians don't pray for the dead. There's nothing in sacred scripture that says pray for the dead. Au contraire, that's why Martin Luther took out the book of Maccabees, is because it said things he didn't like. You know, here's a little story for you, a little something to think about. Not everything is in the Bible. And if everything we believe has to be in the Bible, then we can't believe in the Bible, because the word Bible isn't in the Bible. So if Bible has to be in the Bible to believe it, then we can't believe the Bible. Sacred tradition, how we have always done things, is a very powerful testimony to what the truth is. Now, there will be people who say, well, why pray for the dead? Because when you die, you're judged, and you either go to heaven or you go to hell. That's true up to a point. You are judged. And eventually, you will find yourself either in heaven or hell. Now, with hell, you'll go there immediately. But heaven, you might not get in right away. Why? Because nothing impure can enter into the presence of God. You have to be cleaned up first. Any attachment to sin has to be removed. And that's what we call purgatory. Well, purgatory isn't in the Bible. Again, lots of words in the Bible. Lots of words aren't in the Bible that we believe. The concept is there. Prayer for the dead. Because also, if the soul's already in heaven, they don't need our prayers. So in order for prayer for the dead to make sense, there has to be a third state. Those who are on their way to heaven, but not there yet. And we pray for the dead. Purgatory. And purgatory is, I think, a very hopeful thing. First of all, it means we don't have to be absolutely perfect when we die. That whatever remains to be done, as long as we die in friendship with God, it can be accomplished. Secondly, purgatory is not a place of despair, because the souls that are there know that they are going to heaven. It's a hopeful place, even though there is penance and pain. But they know where they're going. They're going to heaven. Now, the souls in purgatory, they can't pray for themselves. They can pray for us, and they do pray for us. But they can't pray for themselves, so that's our job. It's also the job of the saints in heaven. We pray for not only those that we know, but those that we don't know. And in fact, it's not an optional thing. It's something that we are required to do. It's one of these spiritual works of mercy. Imagine how wonderful it will be if and when you get to heaven to be greeted at the gates by a whole bunch of people you don't know. And you can say, who are these people? Who are you? Said, we're the souls you prayed out of purgatory, and we've been praying for you. Imagine how distressing it will be if when you die and you have to spend your time in purgatory, you are greeted at the gates by a bunch of people, some you know and some you don't know, said, you were too busy to pray for us? You couldn't get off your duff on All Souls Day to go to Mass at 7 o'clock at St. James and pray for us? And some people here, not here, but who should be here, who are going to have that experience. Too busy to pray for the dead. Don't be like that. Pray for the dead. Pray for the dead, not just today, but all the time. In fact, a day should not go by when you don't pray for the repose of the souls in purgatory. And not just those people that you know and love, but the people who have no one to pray for them. Now, you may be tempted to say, well, I know that the people that I love, that my father or mother or grandmother or great uncle Fred are in heaven. I know they're there. No, you don't, not unless they're a canonized saint. They may well be, and you hope they are, but just on the off chance, which might not be such an off chance, pray for them. Whenever you go by a cemetery, say a prayer for those people who are buried there. Whenever you remember someone who has died, pray for them. There's no such thing as a wasted prayer. And if they're already in heaven, that prayer will be used by God for someone else. Pray for the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.